home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, positively breaking down a difficult loss for the Ravens on Monday night and a short week for the Kansas City Chiefs. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour is presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I will have the Ravens scratch-offs. These are new. We are moving the show out. I did a lot of shows in August, a little slower here in September. We'll rev it back up in October, because we're not going to have playoff baseball around here in October. And I'll tell you what, we're going to have some really meaningful football around here as the Ravens have dug themselves a hole as they head out to Kansas City for the late game on Sunday afternoon. Luke Jones joins us now. He was up late on Monday night down. Did you get one of those watches with the, you know, the lights and like all of that? I mean, it was quite a spectacle until they lost, right?
Yeah, I mean, no, I did not get one of those, but it was a heck of a light show. I mean, it's, you know, it's a primetime game in Baltimore. It's why I said, I mean, the a game like this is so unsettling and disappointing and deflating because of that, right? I mean, there's an aura when you're talking about coming to Baltimore for a primetime game. And I think the fans, from as far as I could tell, it seems like the fans held up their end of the bargain in terms of making it a difficult atmosphere. But ultimately, it's 11 guys on the field that have to go play on any given snap, and they did not answer the bell in that way. So, you know, but all that, yeah, it was fun and the cool light show, and they able to turn the lights on and off, and, you know, makes it feel a little more like an NBA or an NHL arena, you know, when you're able to do that. But certainly that energy was not matched by what you saw on the field, which was just substandard play, particularly on the defensive side. But let's face it, every phase came up small at some pretty critical junctures, and it's a reason why the Lions won, as I'll continue to say, more convincingly than what the final score would indicate. Let's at least say that much.
We talked a lot about the Madubuike injury and sort of the domino effect of what that does to the second line, what it does to Roquan, what it does to the linebackers with no pass rush, what that does to stress the secondary in a general sense. Offensively, fumbles, clearly not ideal for Derrick Henry. And I'll give him that. You stood in the locker room after. I didn't, because I'm not a real human or a real media member, but you were allowed to stand there. And by the way, this is exactly when Chad Steele throws people like me out. There's only one of you, so you can either be in the press conference or in the locker room. So it matters a lot for those of you who wake up, who hear our locker room sound and wonder 4 years in why Justin Tucker doesn't get brought up or investigated or any of that sort of stuff. But Derrick Henry stood up, and at least he has been accountable to this. Lamar has been as accountable as Lamar can be given this. But I didn't like the offensive effort. We're going to talk about the defense all week, but I don't know that I like the way this offensive line is performing. I don't know that I like Lamar as a pocket passer as much as we'd like to like him as a pocket passer. I don't like him getting sacked at all. I don't like him getting sacked once, let alone a half dozen times. And I don't like playing from behind where he's got to go out and chuck it around and be a part of that. So there were so many things to not like about it. But in a general sense, we're 3 weeks into this. The thing looked like a machine for the first 45 minutes in Buffalo. Since then, it's been a spitter and a sput. And, you know, they can't run the ball when they really want to run the ball. And they look like they lack some confidence at home.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about the last part as much as the, you know, I mean, you just have to play better at home, right? I mean, and again, you're going up against a really good football team on Monday night. But I would also say, and this is the 30,000 foot view, they've scored 111 points in the first three games, and they're 1-2. I mean,
fair enough.
And let's not bury the lead, fully acknowledging that, but also acknowledging that that second game against Cleveland, we know that the defense and the special teams really did a lot of the heavy lifting in that game, where the offense started slowly, but it's been choppy. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you look at the Buffalo game, and it's a brilliant effort for, you know, a brilliant effort for 50 minutes offensively, and then in crunch time, wasn't what you wanted. The second game of the season, Cleveland does a heck of a job against them. and slows them down offensively in the first half. They got going. They were the benefactor of short fields, certainly. So a turnover that put the ball inside the 10-yard line for them at one point. And even on Monday night, they and even acknowledging the last touchdown being what it was, it's not as though they couldn't move the ball at all, but you kind of look at how the game started out. They get that opening drive touchdown. Derrick Henry is sprung, great blocking on that, and springs him for a touchdown. You're saying, all right, he already has more yardage than he had in the entire game against Cleveland. But then not very much after that from Derrick Henry, not very much from the run game. I mean, it's not as though Lamar, the times, he got out a couple times. And was able to scramble for some yardage, but the Detroit spied him. They did a heck of a job with their 7-man box or 8-man box, trying to slow the run, but also be mindful of Lamar Jackson and playing some of the read option stuff and what have you. So, but you look at how the Ravens kind of played. First drive touchdown, then they go 3 and out, then they have the inexplicable. Where you're at the 1 yard line and you don't score. Now, they did get the ball back following that. Their defense got a stop. They scored after that. So they made amends a little bit for that one. And like I said, they come out in the third quarter. They put together a really good good encouraging touchdown drive. Mark Andrews makes a tough catch. Great throw from Lamar Jackson. I thought the coverage was really good on that play. And you're saying, all right, all order has been restored. They just took the lead, after they were trailing for, a good chunk of the first half. And then their offense just kind of went to sleep after that. They go 3 and out. There was a sack on that play. They did get a field goal, but then they finish off the game in the last two drives that really truly meant something, not just the touchdown at the end where I get it. They were able to attempt an onside kick. Derrick Henry fumble and then 3 and out. And unlike Dan Campbell, and I understand, to be completely fair to John Harbaugh, a 4th and 9 is a way different animal than a 4th and 2. But I think there was a very, it was very fair to at least ask the question, do you go for it on that 4th and 9, just knowing what Detroit was doing to your defense and the way they were able to run the ball and looking at what time of possession was. I mean, the time of possession in the first half was absurd, right? When you're talking about a 98,
11-minute drive,
yeah,
sort of 18
that took the
plays, starch
98,
out of that, right?
yeah. I mean, just that. I mean, just think about that. I mean, they had two different 95-plus yard drives. I mean, how often have you heard of the? And this goes to what you were saying about being at home. How many times can you think in the history of the stadium, down, this stadium? That the Ravens have given up a 95-yard touchdown drive at home. How many times has that happened over the years, just generally speaking, let alone it happening twice in the same game? I mean, you want to talk about your aura, your ego being, your mystique being bruised or just crumpled up and thrown in the trash can on a given night for how you performed. That was the case. But, every time. In the second half, the offense just, even when the defense would manage to make a play, make a stop. I mean, look at how the defense did respond after the Henry fumble. They did hold him to a field goal, right? I mean, that could have been a heck of a lot worse. What happens on the next drive? Offense, they go 3 and out, right? I mean, it's just not good. I mean, not good
Well,
at some.
controlling the line of scrimmage is their game, right? Control down
Yeah.
and distance. Down and distance, 2nd and 2, 2nd and 3, 2nd and 4, or 1st and 10. Stay out of third down.
Yeah.
All of those things we talk about. Third and long's problematic. The sacks are problematic for me, right? Like I questioned Atlet. I know how he's getting sacked. I see it. I see what they're trying to do with him, what they want to do with him. In the old days, he would just take off. Now there's not a lane to take off, but he's not looking to take off. He really not. That's how he's getting sacked because his eyes are downfield instead of running. And then I've seen him run because when they get behind, it is his instinct, right? when they get behind over 7 years, 8 years, and look, I don't talk to the kid. I'm not allowed. You're different than me. They allow you to talk to him, but not me. But I don't know what he sees or what they're telling him to do or how he's being coached. I know he's performing differently. I know he has different intent. And I also know that deep down, we're behind. I've got to put the cape on. Because he did it so much. And we talked about how many Mondays do we sit here talking about him putting the cape on when they were in trouble? Most weeks they're road grading teams, but Marshall Yonda doesn't live here anymore, right? And hey, look, it was good to see Mark Andrews back involved, right?
And Rashad Bateman for that matter as
Sure.
well. But on the flip side then, Zay Flowers had what, two catches for 13 yards? I mean, Hopkins one catch for 13.
Lamar sailed balls a little bit too on Zay, like gave him no chance to catch a
Yeah, I mean
ball,
I
right?
mean I and I want to be clear. I Lamar threw three touchdowns. He completely went 21 of 27, right? There's a lot of good there, a lot of really good there. But I do think you look at the sacks. I think it's a little more nuanced than just saying the offensive line was bad. Were there times it was bad? No doubt about it. Were there times Lamar held the ball a little bit too long and maybe coverage downfield, just did not present the look that they were hoping to get, right? Or the guy breaking open that they were trying to throw to. I think there was some of that. I thought. To your point about, Lamar not necessarily taking off a whole lot. I mean, he finished what, seven rushes for 35 yards. I mean, some scrambles in there, but not when Derrick Henry only has 50 yards, then you say, okay, well, Lamar is going to have to do more of it.
Well, I did
He
read
had
and run
35.
enough to beat them.
Yeah. So I mean, you just kind of look at it. I think what was the issue? Kind of yes, whatever you want to kind of cite, you could say not, cite that at some point in time, and. I think as the second half went on, I think the pass protection broke down a little bit more in the fourth quarter. And I think at that point, I think Lamar was, I want to say spooked, because again, I think you still also have to be realistic to look at the numbers and being what they were, but it wasn't optimal. This isn't how they want to play, right? Look, Lamar Jackson is a brilliant passer. And I'll argue until we're both out of breath that he's a brilliant passer, and he's become, his accuracy, the throws that he makes, I'll stack that up against anyone. But that doesn't mean that that's what they want to be able to, like, that's the only thing they want to be able to lean on, right? That's not how
Well,
you
you
want
lean
to
on that when you're
play.
behind.
Sure. Well,
And then it has to work. And we have to be here the day after talking about
sure.
how they did it. I don't know if they can do it. I don't want to take that away from, but I don't know how many weeks they're going to play from behind at
Well,
home
but this.
and win games.
And you'd say that about anyone, right? I mean, no one
Well, I
wants
wouldn't
to.
say that about John Elway necessarily. Teams that have a little comeback in them,
Hey, look.
this is not the pedigree of that. That's all I'm saying. I don't know over
My,
8 years that this is a team that should be playing from behind. They're a team that's played so comfortably ahead that when they find themselves in a tight panty situation, they haven't handled it well.
And that's fair. And look, to their credit, they aren't in that situation very often. But the point I'm trying to make is, look, Patrick Mahomes doesn't want to play from behind. Josh Allen doesn't want to play. No one wants to play from behind. But I think if you're Todd Monken in this offense, I think you kind of have to look at the state of the football team across the board, the state of your defense. I mean, there were a couple instances, especially when you talk about these, when you're talking about an 18 play, 98 yard drive that lasts 11 minutes. Look, you score points the way that you're able to score them, right? You're not gonna, if Zay Flowers or Rashad Bateman breaks free and you score a 70 yard touchdown on the first play of the ensuing drive, you're not going to fall down deliberately and not score a
Yeah,
touchdown
that's
just to
as
chew the
good as
clock.
Derrick Henry on six runs of 20
But
yards each, right? Yeah.
you start to think, you start to look at how you need to play with the state of your defense and how that defense is playing. You do kind of look at it and say, man, we kind of need to get back to playing some bully ball and chewing some clock and
Yeah,
running the
three and
ball.
out and
And
handing them the ball was not
yeah,
a, that wasn't good.
it just, it again, we're talking about a team that scored over 100 points in the first three games. I think it's very, we got to be very careful here not to throw the baby out with the bathwater. The lead is the defense, right? And its failures. But you do come to a point where, Are you doing everything you can in the other phases to account for that? I mean, look at Tyler Loop. I mean, he had another bad kickoff that, put Detroit at the 40-yard line. In a Jordan Stout had some really good punts, but in crunch time, when they punted on that 4th and 9, not a good punt, right? At a time when you wanted to really pin them deep, he didn't do it. So, to your point, as you're talking about it with the offense, but I'll say for this football team across the board, yeah, these late game situations when you find yourself, whether you're behind or whether it's just really tight, and it's not as though they got blown out. They weren't down 4 touchdowns or anything like that. But when you're behind, in terms of what the score is, what the clock says, how many possessions you're going to get, what the state of your defense is, from a fatigue standpoint, let alone just how they're performing, that's where you looked at that 4th and 9, and John Harbaugh may not, he was asked about it in the post game and kind of just gave it an answer of, it kind of sounded like he didn't give it much thought whatsoever to going for it on 4th and 9. And all right, that's fine, and I get it. They were at their own 32, but that's the time when Jordan Stout needs to hit an absolute boomer and get you inside, pin Detroit back inside the 20-yard line. He punted. He had a 38-yard punt that gave him the ball at the 30, right? And that's where you kind of looked at it and said, well, maybe you should have gone for it on 4th and 9. And if you didn't get it, Detroit, they score, but they'll score more quickly, and then you get the ball back, right? It's the same. It almost becomes the same scenario that they had against Buffalo, with, albeit a 4th and much shorter distance to gain. But again, this goes back to when you have your defense playing the way it is going to force you to play differently. It might force you to say, hey, we've got to go for it on 4th down a little more often because we don't trust our defense, right? I mean, John Harbaugh trusted his defense at the end of the Buffalo game. It was the wrong decision.
Well, it's
Now,
interesting to me because let's talk about that. Because Campbell's big balls at the end of the game at the 50-yard line that they could have punted and said, all right, we'll play defense,
that
but
was with their defense playing well, too.
we're not going to give the ball back to Lamar Jackson and a
Sure.
pissed off Derrick Henry at in Baltimore with the crowd leaning down on us because we're one drive away from losing the game and we're 2 yards away from sealing the deal, right? So but that's at the 50-yard line. That was like, you F up here, you're going to give Lamar the ball at the 50-yard line, and then you fake a handoff and throw a pass over their heads, and Marlon Humphrey's grabbing guys. And that big balls play you're talking about, I don't smell that from John lately. I don't smell
Yeah.
that John would go into Buffalo and not punt at that point. Maybe not last night without Matt Ibike. Maybe the feeling about the defense is different now, 3 hours into the season, than it was, well, two hours and 15 minutes ago into the season. Because at the end of the third quarter in Buffalo, things were good. Since then, oh my God, it's been, we feel differently. We feel like, oh, we got to get, you just said, we got to go for it on 4th down and we can't put our defense on the field. That's how quickly this thing's disintegrated from a defensive mindset.
Well, and again, it's also just viewing it through the lens of being realistic about your defense at that point in time. And again, I
But
want to
that's
be
what's
very.
getting Lamar sacked. They're behind and he's running around, right? So.
Yeah, but again, it's 4th and 9. I want to continue to say it's 4th and 9, right? This is not, if it's 4th and 1 there, it's a no-brainer, you go. If it's 4th and 2, it's a no-brainer, you go. However, you do have to look at it in terms of, all right, 4.5 minutes to go. We're down a touchdown. So we need to score a touchdown. So it's not just we need to get the ball back without them scoring any more points, but we need. So I get that. If
And
you're John.
the mindset's different too about touchdowns and field goals. They don't Justin Tucker anymore. Used to be a time when they crossed the 50. I'm like, well, they're good for three on at least three. Don't screw this up. Keep going forward. Don't get a penalty
Yeah.
or whatever. I don't feel that way anymore, right? I mean,
Well.
I just don't. And we'll do a whole thing on special teams because it's all over the place. Just the kickoffs, the punts around the league. We talked about that. But in a general sense, they have to play differently because they don't have a kicker that is going to instill that kind of confidence that from the 38-yard line they're not playing a little bit more desperately on fourth down than to think, well, we're going to just kick a 55-yard field goal and we're going to get three here. Because they played that way for so long that I haven't gotten my arms around the fact that the kicker might miss the kick and maybe they shouldn't kick the kick. And what's a safe fourth down? And given the fact that they haven't been able to bully ball, fourth and nine sounds like a long way. Sounds like a Joe Flacco fourth and nine all of a sudden, doesn't it?
Well, it does, but again, at the same time, you have to look at the score. You have to look at how much time's left. And I get it. You had timeouts. Like I understand that. And I'm not even saying that that this was an egregious mistake by John Harbaugh not going for it there. But I think it's way more of a conversation than how he indicated it was when he was asked about it. You know, he
Yeah, we'll
kind
just
of,
put our defense on the field. No,
yeah.
no.
I mean, I think in the past, yeah,
At
but
home
right
with our
now,
crowd? Sure,
I mean,
right?
you kind of, the cynical way of viewing that is, okay, you're going to punt it away. And again, it's not fourth and two. Fourth and nine is not a high percentage play. I'm not saying it is, but you're not in a high percentage position at that point in the game when you're down by a touchdown and it's 4.5 minutes to go.
He's also thinking he had
So
three timeouts, though, too.
I understand that. And that's why I said there's absolutely nuance to this. I'm not trying to say that, oh, he, you know, th this isn't Ben saying, oh, this, you know, I thought him
That's why
not.
we do Tuesday morning quarterback here,
Sure.
right?
I felt him not going for the fourth down in Buffalo, that was an egregious mistake, in my opinion. I think that was a bad, bad decision. I think this has more nuance to it, but I think when you start thinking about it, when you think about where the defense was at that point in the game, where what the scoreboard was, the fact that you only had 4.5 minutes to go, the fact that Detroit has been able to lean on you, and I
But
understand
punting
that.
allows you to get live another day, and that's what John would say.
And they drove down the field and scored a touchdown anyway, right? And then, but the argument, Nestor, for if you don't get it, is okay, Detroit Moore might score a touchdown, but guess what? You were down 14 points anyway, and you had next to no time left to stage a comeback. Whereas if you give up a touchdown there, you probably get the ball back with maybe 3 minutes to go, and maybe you can score more quickly, and maybe you try an onside kick, or maybe you can use your timeouts then and you kick the ball. So the point is, it's not a high percentage play either way, but you have to look at it in terms of if you punt it back here, there's a pretty darn good chance that you're not going to get it back again. And if you do, you're going
It's
to be
going to be
down
a
two.
two-score game instead of a
Exactly.
one-score game,
So
right?
that's where you let me be again. I want to emphasize fourth and nine is not a high percentage success rate. We all understand that. But your win probability is not high success at that a high proposition at that point. So that's where you do have to look at it a little bit differently, especially when your defense was tired and getting its butt kicked at the line of scrimmage. And like I said, you punt. Jordan Stout didn't give you a particularly, you know, it was 38 yards. It wasn't horrendous, but not his best effort. You know, instead of pinning them back inside the 20, they're at the, you know, they're at their 30, and
I'm
you
writing
know.
special teams down for a whole segment because I think we,
Sure.
you know, we.
Oh, I mean, I don't think it. I don't think they had these major. You know, it's not like they had a punt blocked or anything crazy like that. But this goes back to your point though. When you're talking about these close games, when you're talking about playing other great teams, whether we're talking Buffalo in week one, Detroit's a great team, right? In a vacuum, there's no shame in losing to the Detroit Lions. But just the way that it happened, the way you were bullied on your own field, the way that you gave up over 200 rushing yards, the way that they kind of beat you at your own game, and the way that you couldn't get any pressure on their quarterback and all of that, it feels way worse than what the outcome in a vacuum truly is. Because, I mean, go look at what the record was last year. I mean, they won, what, 15 games last year? I mean, they're a great football team. But, man, you just, in another instance of, where they need to turn the tide, where they need to turn the tide or make a game-changing play, it was Aiden Hutchinson making the play, right? You know, it was David Montgomery busting a
And it was
70-plus
Derrick
yard
Henry
run.
playing the role of the goat. And it was Lamar
Sure.
Jackson who
Well,
couldn't
and
get
that's
out of his own way and got
the
sacked 5 times. And
point.
it was
They're not making the play, and that's
Marlon Humphrey grabbing jerseys. It was just all of it, right?
yeah. I mean, there's stars on either side of the ball in crunch time when it's that gotta have it. You know, gotta have it. You know, you hear coaches, you hear NFL analysts that used to play in the NFL. They talk about those plays. They call it gotta have it. They're not making those plays in these close games against, they needed a gotta have it play against Buffalo and they didn't get it. They needed a gotta have it play against Detroit and they didn't get it. So that doesn't mean that I suddenly think they're a 9-8 football team or anything like that, but man, it's not inspiring much confidence when you're 1-2 and the one team you beat was Cleveland and the two teams you lost to are the kind of teams you're going to be playing in January, right? I mean, Detroit's in the other conference, I get that, but that caliber of team is what I'm saying. So, man, it's discouraging. I mean, this is a really discouraging loss
Well,
just
when
in
you're one
terms
and
of
two and
your
you're going to
aura.
Kansas City and if you lose, I don't want to be hearing about January. I want to be hearing about winning this week. We've
Yeah.
talked so much about January and February around here.
Still need the requisite of getting
It's
there. I mean,
September and they're
yeah.
1-2 and going to Kansas City.
Yeah.
And I'll give you the Houston thing looks a little easier and the Rams, over
Houston
the
looks bad, but I
over
think
the hill, but like I'm
the Rams are
trying to
good.
level set to where they get to 5-3. Right, you know what I'm saying? Like
Fair.
you're 1-2. How do you get to 5-3? Forget 14-3. It's always weird with these 17
I know,
numbers,
still not
like it's
used
just
to
so
it, yeah.
freaky deaky. By the way, I'll just throw this out because I'm a unpaid observer at home watching the games now and waiting for press conferences on television screens that they allow you and Jerry Coleman into. On the screen, on the Ravens.com screen last night in their press conference, they had the score written: Baltimore Ravens 30, Detroit Lions 38. They wrote it backwards, and I thought, haven't
Yeah,
seen
that.
that since like the 70s, where like the kids that didn't
Yeah.
follow sports read the score the wrong way. And I'm like, it's kind of a bizarre. Who?
Yeah.
Come on,
So
dude,
especially when you're talking,
do better, Michelle. Come on.
you could almost understand that if they were the visitor, right? And it was just
Yeah,
like visiting
but
team,
yeah,
home team.
this isn't a
Yeah, that's a
soccer
little
score.
weird.
We do it backwards. It's America. It's
Yeah.
football. Detroit Lions go first because they won the game.
Well, I don't
John
know.
Harbaugh and all the post-game press conference sound can be found at Baltimore Positive. I apologize. Go ahead, Luke.
No, just along those lines. I don't know how much of it came up on social media, but the ribbon scoreboards in the stadium weren't working early in the game. Like you could see the game, the time of game, but the score was still reading 0-0. And they fixed that, I guess, by the second quarter, I think it was. But yeah, for all the light show and the pomp and circumstance of the pregame and all that fun stuff. Something happened with the scoreboard that they couldn't get that working. It was kind of funny to see that it was 7-7 and you look up and it still said 0-0. So, that's neither here nor there, but that was a issue. Since you brought up like weird things like that, I thought
Well,
I'd at
look,
least
man,
mention that.
because I'm Baltimore positive, I'll just throw this in at the ass end of this segment before we get into special teams and more on Lamar and taking sacks and certainly more on Nnamdi Matabike and that situation as we get ready for Kansas City. But for a Baltimore night, and I said to my wife, it was a beautiful night, like tailgating night, a night we wished we'd still live downtown and not out on the farm. And I mean, I even thought like it'd be fun to go down and have a sausage and a beer. And then I remember like the tailgates aren't as good as they used to be, certainly not on Monday night. It was kind of falling apart a decade ago. I don't even get pictures on my timeline of what it used to be 10 or 15 years ago when Ray Lewis danced and all that. But they had Queen out, they had Mello out. I saw actors and actresses, then the Orioles show up. Like, it was, Michael Phelps is doing the Manning cast. It was a little bit of a coronation and love in. And let's be honest, for all of we love ourselves, we love Baltimore here. Everybody loved Baltimore except for Peter Angelos, who got in the way of the parade 10 years ago. I forgot about that when he died, by the way. Keith Urban playing out in the middle of the harbor, and we're playing in Denver. But big nights for Baltimore, big day, like. We're going to get an all-star game one day. We're going to have an AFC championship game again someday. And you can't even plan on that. That's a 5-day notice thing out. These Monday night football games, when the Ravens get the schedule, they know about this before the schedule's even released because they're trying to Johnny Bravo the wristbands in the night and bring in the right celebrities and bring in the right reason to do. We're going to do Ozzy and Ray and Ogden the first game, and then we're gonna do the alumni. We're gonna celebrate 30th anniversary. But it's just such a downer when they have a night like that, because they don't get nights like that much on Monday Night Football, where Phelps is with the Manning guys, the whole world's talking about Lamar, everything stops. It's not a Sunday, it's a Monday. Big game. They're not playing the Cincinnati game later in the year when the
Looks way
Cincinnati's
different now.
three
Yeah,
and nine. It won't matter, right?
on Thanksgiving night, right? I mean, you're thinking. I mean, when that comes out on the schedule, you're thinking Lamar against Joe Burrow. I
They
mean,
play Green Bay on Christmas night too. We're holiday oriented, right?
no, it's not Christmas night.
No,
It's either the 27th or the 28th.
okay, that week. I'm sorry.
No. I wonder. It's Christmas week. It's just they're not on Christmas itself. But yeah, I mean, look, I think back, and they. You know me, I like the uniform stuff. I mean, it's a bit fashion tweets, all of that, but you think about how jacked up fans get for when they wear the black jerseys, right? I mean, I can still remember the first game that they wore those back in 04, and
The Ed Reed game.
Ed Reed, yeah. Well, I mean, that was very personal for me. That was the week my father passed away. I mean, like, I went to the game and, went with his best friend and sobbed after Ed Reed returned, just because I was thinking about my dad. I mean, but I think about that aura, that mystique. I think about what the record has been over the years when they've worn those black, and they've lost some games, right? I mean, the following year, Peyton Manning and Indy came in on opening night, when on Sunday Night Football, and handled them, right? And that was the Kyle Bowler got hurt and everyone cheered game.
I remember for the Ed Reed game, they brought me. This is back when I wasn't allowed in the Kevin Byrne. This is when Kevin Byrne used to visit me and want me help sell tickets for him. But I had the pitch black poster of Ray Lewis. That's 21 years
21
ago
years
now,
ago,
right?
2004.
I've always
Yes.
kind of hated the black jersey. I mean, like for me,
Well, but I
from a
just,
fashion tweet
sure,
perspective,
and that's fine. But
it's not their primary color for me.
there's absolutely a mystique to wear it, because they almost always wear them in prime time, right?
Sure.
It's a nationally
To me, it
televised game.
reminds me
It's
too much of Terrell Suggs to like it.
fair enough. But the point is, the fans really like it, right? I mean, they get fired up for that. So, you kind of look at everything that aligns for something like that, and it's a chance to go 2-1, a chance to move back to at least a tie for the division lead and feel good about yourselves. 2-1, and then you're going to KC and say, hey, we got a chance to make the Chiefs 1-3. Now they still do, but now there's the flip side to that. If you're 2-1, you go to KC, we know the history there in the Lamar era, going to Arrowhead's
Feel like you
challenging.
can win. You feel like the Chiefs are vulnerable.
Well, they should absolutely still feel that way. But the point is, the flip side, when you're 2-1, if you do drop that game, 2-2, it's not, the sky's not falling, right? You're disappointed, but it's not January, not any of that. Now there's way more of a, we can't go there and lose. We can't start 1-3. I mean, can they overcome 1-3? Yes, of course they can, right? I mean, you've got 13 games after that, but this isn't something you want to start testing, right? You don't want to be in a position where you're starting to look at this, and meanwhile, you see the Bills are still undefeated, or you're looking up and you're saying, hey, Indianapolis, they're off to a heck of a start, and that's not a very good.
By the way, the
You
Ravens
start.
are favored, 2.5 point favorite
I'm not
in
surprised
Kansas
by
City.
that. I'm not surprised by that. But at the same time, man, that the what if you lose is way different now than if you take care of business against Detroit on Monday night. And like I said, it for me, this is a game where you kind of question your aura. You kind of question. I mean, we've talked about it, and you and I are as guilty as anyone. January. But you do have to get there. And right now, as this team is presently constructed, not knowing what's going to happen with Matt Ibike's status moving forward, and assuming Van Noy's at least going to miss Sunday's game. I mean, the reporting on that was he was going to at least miss a couple games. The fact that they didn't put him on IR is a good sign, but
Can't
man,
stop the run, can't rush the passer. Woo!
I mean, and let me be clear, Detroit has a far more formidable offense than Kansas City on paper right now. There's no question about that. Kansas City has struggled. They found a little bit of a running game in the second half against the Giants. They found a little bit of a passing game. Thornton made some plays for them. I think Xavier Worthy's going to be back, but man, when you talk, they're already in the skeptic, the cynic, their harshest critic would say that They're already in tend to be in their own head when they're playing Kansas City, and now when it comes off the heels of a performance like that against Detroit, man, it's not going to be a fun week. And oh yeah, you're playing on a short week too, right? Where, it's not as much of a thing when you're playing at home, but we've seen when the Ravens last year was a perfect example. They had a Monday night road game at Tampa where they won. Got a little bit, a little closer at the end than they wanted it to be. They didn't finish quite as well as they wanted to, but they won, and they won by, I think, 10 points, whatever it was. Do we remember what happened the following week? They went to Cleveland and laid the egg that they laid in Cleveland that Sunday. So it's not a fun week. That's not a fun film review for any phase, right? I mean, the defense, number one, top of the list, but they've got to find a way to clean up some of these issues. And, when you're talking about the O-line, when you're talking about the state of the pass rush, these aren't necessarily easy fixes that you just say, oh, well, we'll just bench that guy and put that guy in. I mean, Marcus Williams, that was kind of the big thing last year that plagued the secondary, right? But, what we saw from the defense across the board wasn't an easy fix. And this offensive line, this identity that they're trying to carve out here, it's as prolific as it's looked at times, and the points they've scored, it's still been choppy at some critical junctures for them that they're still trying to figure that out as well here, especially over these last two games. So, got a lot of work to do. And yeah, it's Kansas City, and that history, that's all going to be in between the years as they're preparing to kick off Sunday afternoon in Arrowhead.
Luke Jones will be on the scene for the abbreviated week of practice in preparation for the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and Spags, Tyreek Hill, and all that other good stuff going on as well. Yeah, I for me, I the one and two part really feels sour at this point for, for the fan base and for the late night on Monday. I have Raven scratch offs to give away. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're getting back out. Tastiness is counting down. Brought to you by our friends at Curio Wellness. I've been chatting with our friends at GBMC about it. Also, I did a piece this week where we pretended I might be a grandfather one day and how I would actually handle that. My colonoscopy, however, is real. So GBMC has talked me into being healthier, men's health. I turned 57 in a couple of weeks. I hope the Ravens are 500 by the time that happens. Luke will keep us informed of all things breaking news on the WNST tech service. That is brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. You know about it, how good it is. We're all over the Matabike story. We're concerned about his health, concerned about the running game, concerned about protecting Lamar, and certainly concerned about going to Kansas City. I'm not even getting any barbecue out of it this week. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. More football ahead. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore positive.